Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. It has to be pointed out that debt is fraud. We also want to actually let you know that the call for prayer, the appeal to heaven, you're more than what call to prayer. I guess that might be Islamic. anyway, your...
I think they know what you mean.
So back to what I'm trying to say is your prayer circle. If you want to join Loud and Liberty, you can. And we've got their contact information up on Reclaim the Republic or Red State Talk radio podcast page. And your campaign begins 3 months ago. So as I've been saying, you're really behind the eight ball. If you need help, let me know. I don't believe many people understand what to do, and which is one of the reasons why we have mentoring calls. I have different groups for different states. Let's get your state started. Anywho, where we left off yesterday, so we have methodically gone through the amendments to the Articles of Confederation. Then we went through the convention in Annapolis in 1786. And then we just read the Continental Congress's report out to the states, calling on the states to all send delegates to Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, and actually it's going to be in Independence Hall, and they're going to have a convention to fix, amend, we'll get into the commissions of how each of those went, but bottom line, they're asking each of the states to send people ready and prepared to do what's necessary to fix the exigencies of the Union or the Confederation. So what we have is we actually have all of these commissions. I want to make sure I get this right. We have all of the commissions from each of the states kind of pasted together. Now, you're more than welcome to actually get and download these. When you look at the Word document in the footer part of the page is the link to where you can get this from. So by all means, go check it out. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of go through these, and I'll just say we're going to focus really on, the first one we'll probably just kind of go through the perfunctory stuff. But what we really want to do with all of them is focus on the details, or I'll just say, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to prove, folks, did the delegates that went into the Constitutional Convention, did they exceed their scope that the state basically gave them the commission to go do? And so technically, one would think that if they did, these people probably have committed a crime because they were told to go do something and go. They were not only told, but they were paid to do something. And so not doing what they're paid to do could actually, have some severe consequences. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and start with Connecticut. And I think I have this in alphabetical order. I do, because it's not in order. But let's make note of each of the dates when they are writing or when they have published this electing act and empowering act. It's kind of an electing and empowering act for the delegates to go to the convention. So I'll just say it right now, since I'm looking at it, May 17th. Now, they're supposed to be convening in the second Monday of 1878, of May, second Monday of May in 18. So does it look like Connecticut's going to make it to Philadelphia? In other words, they're going to show up late because,
yeah,
right? Okay. All right. So go ahead and let's just read all of it to the highlighted part. So let's just read all of it because this is the perfunctory part where they kind of talk about this. And there's some things I kind of want to point out. So let's go ahead.
Okay. An act for appointing delegates to meet in a convention of the states to be held at the city of Philadelphia on the second Monday of May, instant. Whereas the Congress of the United States, by their act of the 21st of February, 1787, have recommended that on the second Monday of May, instant, a convention of delegates who shall have been appointed by the several states be held at Philadelphia for the sole and express purpose of revising the Articles of Confederation. Be it enacted by the governor, council, and representatives in the general court assembled and by authority of the same.
Hold on. Let's read that again and tell me what you get out of this. Go ahead.
The whole thing?
No, be it enacted by the governor.
Oh, okay. Be it enacted by the governor, council, and representatives in general court assembled and by authority of the same.
Okay, so let's pick it apart. It starts off with governor, council, and representatives. Uh-huh. Now, is that listing or is that the body? Does that make sense? In other words, is this coming from the legislature, which I believe it is, but it says by the governor, council, and representatives. So, mm-hmm. In other words, they didn't have a Senate. They had a body of representatives of the people, and then they had it like a council for their governor. Now, I believe each state actually had governors, but what I'm trying to garner out of this is, you know, how were these colonies or these states now under the Confederation, how were they configured? And what's interesting as well is to note that they called it in general court assembled.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we really look at the state government and the General Assembly, in a way, they were kind of forming as a judiciary and or as a full magistrate. In other words, let's keep in mind that at this point in time, none of these states had broken this magistrate or single body entity, you know, mass governing, like, you know, a single body like the Continental Congress. So they may have had an executive and the legislature. They didn't have a judiciary separate. They didn't have, you know, the real definitive three branches and separations of power. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now they kind of read through the names, and you're going to notice that they have this Esquire. And that happened yesterday where you read a name and there was Esquire.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the American Bar Association Esquire. Okay, because we didn't have the American Bar, the British Accredited Registry, established in America until 1870-something. And that's mm-hmm. not that they yeah. weren't coming and not that they weren't trying to penetrate our legal system. But let's go ahead and read this. And then when we hit the highlight, let's kind of take a pause right before there are more of them. And then we'll pause and go, okay, so this is where the meat is. And then we'll kind of skip down. And what I want to do is kind of look at, you know, how the state is reporting their formation and so forth, kind of like we just did. And then we can kind of dig into the commission. So go ahead.
Okay. That the Honorable William S. Johnson, Roger Sherman, and Oliver Ellsworth Esquire be, and they hereby are, appointed delegates to attend the
said
convention. Okay. And are requested to proceed to the city of Philadelphia for that purpose without delay, and the said delegates, in case of sickness or accident, such one or more of them.
Okay, so this is going to be the meat, folks. So let's go ahead.
Shall actually attend the said convention is and are hereby authorized and empowered to represent this state therein and to confer with such delegates appointed by the several states for the purposes mentioned in the said acts of Congress that may be present and duly empowered to act in said convention and to discuss upon such alterations and provisions agreeable to the general principles of Republican government, as they shall think proper to render the federal constitution adequate to the exigencies of government and the preservation of the Union.
All right. I'm standing up and clapping there. So excellent job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So the key point here is that they're duly empowered to actually function independently. In other words, you don't have to come back to us and ask us, what do we do? So that they're sending them out duly empowered to act in the said convention to discuss upon the alterations of provisions agreeable to the general principles of a Republican government as they shall think proper to render the federal constitution adequate to the exigencies. So in other words, do what you need to do to the federal constitution to make sure that it can deal with these urgent things that all of those amendments that were already out there. And the whole point is preserving the Union. Okay, so let's skip down and we'll go to Delaware. Now, this was on February 3rd, 1787, and the General Assembly of this state are fully convinced, so they don't talk about their governor and they don't bring it into a court, if you see what I'm saying. So So this was strictly done by the state legislature, not by the governor, council and legislature representatives, and they weren't considering or referring to themselves as the General Assembly Court. So, okay, so let's look at what Delaware. And if you notice that there is a green and then there's a yellow. So let's read the green first.
Okay. Are hereby constituted and appointed deputies from this state with powers to meet such deputies as may be appointed and authorized by the other states to assemble in the said convention at the city aforesaid and to join with them in devising, deliberating on, discussing such alterations and further provisions as may be necessary to render the federal constitution adequate to the exigencies of the Union.
Okay, so now we're looking at basically the exact same thing, right? It almost seems the same, with powers to meet such deputies. In other words, we're sending you and basically empowering you to go meet. And you have this authorization to basically conduct business at this convention to join with them in devising, deliberating on, and discussing such alterations and further provisions as may be necessary to render the federal constitution adequate to the exigencies of the Union. Mm-hmm. Near as I can tell, you know, the way they're framing this, I see this as a blank check. I don't see this as, oh, well, yeah, we're going to have a discussion. As a matter of fact, they have been talking and talking and talking about the inadequacies of the Confederation, or I should say the Articles of Confederation, and they have realized that they're not paying their debts. They've got real problems. Now, one thing they don't know, in 3 years, there's going to be a revolution in France, and that revolution is going to create this outcome of a despot that rises to power. That despot, Napoleon Bonaparte, who is going to inherit the problems of France, one of the big problems is that there's this nation called the Confederation of States of America, whatever the name was. And actually, I think they may have called themselves the United States because we've seen that. And putting aside what they called them, this new despot if we are not paying them their debt, I believe, because it's a pretty significant debt, I believe that Napoleon Bonaparte, instead of turning towards Europe, would have probably gone to their, I don't know, I don't want to say foes, but their former foes and allies and say, hey, look, Britain, you want your pound of flesh out of America. Spain, you want a little bit of this too, and we need to get our money back. So let's go divide and conquer. I believe that there's no doubt in my mind, had they not been receiving payments, they probably would have sent a warning, a shot across our bow, and basically says, if you're not going to pay us, we're coming. And we will deal with you forthwith. So anyway, okay. Now let's read the caveat, because the yellow is this little caveat that the General Assembly of Delaware basically says that we want you to go and do whatever you think is necessary as long as you don't do this. So let's go read that.
Okay. That such alterations or further provisions or any of them do not extend to that part of the fifth article of the Confederation of the said states, finally ratified on the first day of March in the year 1781, which declares that in determining questions in the United States in Congress assembled, each state shall have one vote.
Equal suffrage. In other words, they wanted to make sure Delaware, these guys were attuned to not allow the more populated states to have more power. Yeah. More representation. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, understanding what they're asking for, did they get what they were asking for here? Knowing that the Constitution came back to them and they saw two bodies, a body that represents the people and a body that represents the state legislature.
Yeah.
In a way, absolutely. And Delaware was the first state to ratify. I mean, they rubber stamped it. They couldn't do it fast enough. Okay. So, we're going down to Georgia now. 10 February, 1787. And an ordinance for the appointment of deputies from this state by the purpose of revising. So they don't even tell, you know, really who's doing this. Right? So, okay. So let's
start with the green.
Yep, let's read the green.
They're hereby appointed commissioners who, for any two or more of them, are hereby authorized as deputies from the state to meet such deputies as may be appointed and authorized by other states to assemble in convention at Philadelphia and to join with them in devising and discussing all such alterations and farther provisions as may be necessary to render the federal constitution adequate to the exigencies of the Union, and in reporting such an act for that purpose to the United States in Congress assembled, as when agreed to by them and duly confirmed by the several states, will effectually provide the same.
Okay, so here they're coming back with the same thing, right? Adequate to the exigencies of the Union, and then let's actually go up. To join with them in devising and discussing all such alterations. Now, what does devising mean?
Getting a plan together?
Or, you know, so devising, is that like designing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And or developing? Yeah. And so, and discuss, so developing and discussing all such alterations. Okay. So, yeah. Here's the question, too. They were meeting in May, and they were to be there for several months. Is it reasonable to think that after being down there for several months, they only came back with ideas? In other words, the way the people that have claimed that this is a runaway convention, because they came back with a finished document of a new government. And actually, we're going to get into it because we've already talked about how the amendments, and we look at the Articles of Confederation, much of that stuff, word for word, is in the U.S. Constitution. So it's not like they really created a new language and new delegations and so forth. They did create a new government by creating the three separate branches and so forth. But my point is, would it be reasonable for these guys to be out there? This would have been the epitome of a boondoggle in their day if they just sat and kicked the can around and had ideas instead of actually providing a solution. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the devising and discussing all such alterations and further provisions as may be necessary. So I see the fact that they wouldn't have been very happy if they would have came back with, well, we got some ideas, and we'll go back next year. We'll, in other words, create a perpetual convention. Had the delegates gone down that path, well, hey, this is kind of fun. We're meeting, and it's summertime. Yeah, getting away from the family. And I don't think any of these men thought that would, you know, this was fun, because if I remember correctly, Pennsylvania at some points in time, and actually Philadelphia, they had yellow fever, typhoid, those types of problems. And during the convention, it just happened to be one of the light typhoid, yellow fever seasons for a summertime, because there have been times where they just evacuated the entire city in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Not knowing there was those little creatures biting them that were giving them that that germ. Anyway, okay, so let's go to Massachusetts, because Massachusetts is the next state that has a reservation. So go ahead. Oh, hold, actually, let me look at this first. I'm sorry. The legislature of this commonwealth, so appointed by the General Assembly, but by the commissioners, okay, so yeah, they're identifying five. Now, keep in mind that they understood that regardless of how many they send, they're only going to get one voice, one vote at the convention. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Am I reading the green?
Yep, you're reading the green, okay. And then we'll read the yellow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It is expedient that on the second Monday in May next, a convention of delegates who shall have been appointed by the several states to be held in Philadelphia for the sole and express purpose of revising the Articles of Convention and reporting to Congress and the several legislatures such alterations of provisions therein as shall, when agreed to in Congress and confirmed by the states, render the federal Constitution adequate to the exigencies of the government and the preservation of the Union.
Okay, so here they're actually using the term purpose of revising. So the language changes in between each of these, but here's another expectation that we want you to come back with something.
Right.
Okay. Okay. And again, to work with and cooperate with, to deal with the exigencies of the Union for its preservation. Okay. Now let's read the yellow part.
That the said delegates on the part of this commonwealth
So Tammy, yep. I just noticed that we're 40-some seconds out.
Okay.
So it's very consistent. And in other words, you can tell that the states took the Continental Congress language, you know, dealing with the exigencies and so forth. They took that same language and they put it into each of these commissions, right? Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like nobody was really going rogue or, you know, taking some bad interpretation of what needed to be done. And the reality is that everybody understood, especially the small states. The small states knew that there was going to be real problems if they didn't secure a government for the Union. So with that, we're going to go ahead and take this break because it's a planned break, so that's why we take it. But anyway, we'll be back and we'll dive into this last part of the Massachusetts Empowering Act, and we'll take it from there. We'll be right back after this, folks. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so getting back to the Massachusetts empowerment, one of the things, I'm not sure if you noticed the names on this, but in this one, they actually have Eldridge Gerry. And so that's the infamous Gerry that was dubbed gerrymandering.
Okay.
Rufus King. Anyway, all of these guys were like, the people that went to this convention were pretty much rock stars. I mean, Benjamin Franklin represented Pennsylvania, one of them. But anyway, let's go ahead and read the caveat.
That said, delegates on the part of this Commonwealth be, and they are hereby instructed not to accede to any alterations or additions that may be proposed to be made in the present Articles of Confederation, which may appear to them not to consist with the true Republican spirit and genius of the said Confederation, and particularly that they by no means interfere with the fifth of the said Articles, which provides for the annual election of delegates in Congress, with the power reserved to each state to recall its delegates or any of them within the year, and to send others in their stead for the remainder of the year. And which also provides that no person shall be capable of being a delegate for more than 3 years in any term of 6 years, or being a delegate shall be capable of holding any office of the United States for which he or any other for his benefit receives any salary, fees, or emolument of any kind.
Okay, so this is kind of weird, kind of funny, isn't it? They want to make sure that the annual election, in other words, the yearly election of their congressperson, was not to be touched. And we know what ended up coming back was a two-year election. And so this actually got touched. And I'm trying to remember who... I know Eldridge Gerry did not sign the Constitution. There were two names that did. I think Rufus King was one. And maybe it was Gorham. I'd have to actually look. But nevertheless, the point is that what they ended up getting was not well received. The anti-federalists really felt that they had what they needed to actually, not ratify the Constitution. And that was because these guys were becoming sticklers about how this federal government was going to tell them how they would be able to choose their, their congressmen and so their representation and all of that. And when we get into the ratification debates, we'll find that it was walking on a very thin line, the actual ratification. And it was John Hancock that actually saved it. I don't want to spoil it for you or anybody that doesn't know what happened, who hasn't listened to the ratification debates before on this show. But I will tell you that the anti-federalists really had a very strong argument because they actually mucked with the one thing they were told not to muck with. Mm. And it became a big issue. At least they were trying to make a mountain out of a molehill because they didn't like, you know, the fact that they couldn't replace everybody and have term limits and those types of things. Let's remember that these were the Puritans. These were the autocrats. These were a very controlled society. Statism. We think of the Sons of Liberty and the Boston Tea Party, the Concord shot heard around the world as, all the patriots. But Massachusetts was a very rigid state. They didn't like anybody in there trying to preach anything that deviated from their doctrine. I mean, very controlled. So are you surprised that it was one of the first states to accept more statist type of government? I mean, Boston was filled with blue laws. Do you know what a blue law is?
I don't.
So a blue law is a law where they believe that you need to be protected from yourself. So they create all of these moral laws, like you can't buy liquor or any alcohol on Sundays. Actually, all stores are closed on Sundays, and you can't drink on Sundays. I mean, those are blue laws.
You have to be sober enough to go to church.
Well, you have to be sober enough to be in town. As a matter of fact, they didn't take kindly to drunk and disorderly. And as a matter of fact, John Adams was just the epitome, not John Quincy Adams, but John Adams was the epitome of a sourpuss that, you know, was just miserable and he loved company. And so it was funny that it was John Quincy Adams' son who was going to Harvard, where John Adams went to school, and he got kicked out because he was drunk and disorderly and riotous. They caused a riot, and he got kicked out of Harvard, and it was absolutely this big disgrace to the family name because they were a very, you know, proper and paunch society, you know, and There were a lot of advantages to Massachusetts. I mean, the standard of living, the life expectancy of a Bostonian or a Massachusettses, whatever you want to call their names, of people who live in Massachusetts, they lived till 70 years old.
Wow.
They had a great, stellar life expectancy because of their education, you know, hygiene standards and so forth. So what I'm trying to inject here is it is ironic that, you know, they were so rigid. They had to have their liberty, and they didn't change. They never changed. They were gravitating towards statism. I mean, the colony itself invoked socialism for the first couple of years before they almost all died off. And they said, the tragedy of the commons almost killed us, so we're going to go back to everybody has their own. You provide for yourself. We're not pooling anything. And they still go back to that, and they were the first state to put, I think, socialized health care and those types of things. So anyway. All right, enough of those little trips there in the rabbit hole. Let's go to Maryland, 26 May 1787. So you know they're going to be showing up a little late. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Be appointed and authorized on behalf of this state to meet such deputies as may be appointed and authorized by any other of the United States to assemble in convention at Philadelphia for the purpose of revising the federal system and to join with them in considering such alterations and further provisions as may be necessary to render the federal constitution adequate to the exigencies of the Union.
There we go. So again, the word revising, for the purpose of revising the federal system and to join with them considering such alterations and further provisions as may be necessary to render the federal constitution adequate to meet and preserve the Union. There you
They
go.
call them deputies.
Yes.
In Maryland.
Yes, and so, and that's, there's nothing wrong with, you know, the different namings. It's kind of like committees and so forth. One of the things I learned a long time ago is let people, you know, call themselves their own names. So what I just did, by the way, is I looked up the word revise, R-E-V-I-S, for looking for revisions, revising, and so forth. For the purpose of revising, so I went to Connecticut. It's right there at the beginning, the sole and express purpose of revising the Articles of Confederation. In Delaware, revising the Articles, the necessity of revising, I mean, it's mentioned twice, they're revising. In Georgia, the same. They actually, so the, for the sole purpose of revising, this means that they're actually going to produce a product in making whatever they thought changes were necessary. So how is it that there's this concept that these men went in there and because they revised the Articles of Confederation into something completely better and different? How is it that this was a runaway convention? Again, runaway, that term means you've abandoned the whole point of why you were there and you did something completely different. Completely different would have been creating communism, you know, getting away from the Republican system. But they didn't. These men were faithful. Okay, so we just read Maryland. Now let's go to North Carolina. For the sole purpose of revising the federal... Don't you love the way they spelled federal?
Yeah.
Okay. Faux. Okay, go ahead. And so actually, so green? This... Let's read the blue and then the green.
Okay. And whereas the limited powers by which the Articles of Confederation are vested in the Congress of the United States have been found far inadequate to the enlarged purposes which they were intended to produce. And whereas Congress hath by repeated and most urgent representations endeavored to awaken this and other states of the Union to a sense of the truly critical and alarming situation into which they must be unavoidably cast unless measures are forthwith taken to enlarge the powers of Congress that they may thereby be enabled to avert the dangers which threaten our existence as a free and independent people. And whereas this state hath been ever desirous to act upon the enlarged system of the general good of the United States without bounding its views to the narrow and selfish object of partial convenience, and has been at all times ready to make every concession to the safety and happiness of the whole, which justice and sound policy could vindicate.
Okay, so this is interesting, isn't it? How they've kind of went into why they're doing this, because the whole Articles of Confederation were completely inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
Have been found far inadequate. That's the words they used. Okay.
Oops.
All right, so now let's read the authorization.
The green part?
Yeah, the green part. The
okay.
Green part.
That five commissioners be appointed by joint ballot of both houses of assembly, who or any three of them are hereby authorized as deputies from this state to meet in Philadelphia on the first day of May next, then and there to meet and confer with such deputies as may be appointed by the other states for similar purposes, and with them to discuss and decide upon the most effectual means to remove the defects of our federal union and to procure the enlarged purposes which it has intended to effect.
Decide. You see that? Discuss and decide. Take the liberties of making the decision and bringing it back. I'm having a hard time finding how, you know, this commission was so tightly wound that what they ended up bringing back did not meet what they were told to do. You see my point?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. All right. So now we're going to do New Hampshire, who's also looking for the purpose of revising the federal constitution. And there we go. The little green part. Yep.
Hereby are appointed commissioners They or any two of them are hereby authorized and empowered as deputies from this state to meet at Philadelphia said convention or any other place to which the said convention may be adjourned for the purposes aforesaid there to confer with such deputies as are or may be appointed by the other states or similar purposes and with them to discuss and decide upon the most effectual means to remedy the defects of our federal union and to procure and secure the enlarged purposes which it was intended to effect.
Wow, just discuss and decide again. Now, I'm starting to find, this commonality between these different entitlement and empowering and election type of acts that they're doing here. So now New Jersey does this, and I think they're the ones that beat everybody out the gate because they were the only one that did this in 1786, shortly after. And as a matter of fact, New Jersey was one of the states that was actually there, right? Okay.
Yeah, they're the first one.
And look at what we have here. It is literally just resolved. They don't tell you who's doing it, who's signing it, only who's going to be going, and that's it. In other words, it's very short and to the point. Okay. So let's go ahead.
Hereby are authorized and empowered to meet such commissioners as have been or may be appointed by the other states in the Union at the City of Philadelphia in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania on the second Monday in May next for the purpose of taking into consideration the state of the Union as to trade and other important objects and of devising such further provisions as shall appear necessary to render the Constitution of the federal government adequate to the exigencies thereof.
Okay, wow. Now let's go to New York. And New York, February, 26, 28. All right, so this is kind of shortened to the point as well.
That five delegates be appointed on the part of the state to meet such delegates as may be appointed on the part of the other states, respectively, on the second Monday in May next at Philadelphia, for the sole and express purpose of revising the Articles of Confederation and reporting to Congress and to the several legislatures such alterations and provisions therein as shall, when agreed to in Congress and confirmed by the several states, render the federal Constitution adequate to the exigencies of government and the preservation of the Union.
Okay, so this was done by actually one of the only states that had two bodies. This is the representatives, right? Then it goes to the Senate. And so the Senate then goes through, and you can actually see who gets, I'll just say, who is for the affirmative, for the negative, and who ends up going, because out of this, you see Mr. Yates, you see Mr. Treadwell, Mr. Herring, Mr. Ward, Mr. Russell, Mr. Hopkins. And actually, these are the ones that supposedly for that, those are the affirmative. And so, where do you see Hamilton? Do you see Hamilton on this list?
No,
Okay.
I'm not sure which list you're looking at.
And well, so, oh, okay. So if you go underneath the green you just read, and then you'll actually see
Oh,
the
okay, I see
title of the
it.
Senate, then the Senate February 27th. And then it goes for the affirmative, and then it goes for the negative, and then it goes a little further, and they say for the negative, a few more names, and then for the affirmative, a few more names. Right? Still no Hamilton. Still
Yeah, no
no
Hamilton.
Hamilton. Okay, so then Mr. Yates moved for the said resolution, blah, 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 and for the negative, and for the affirmative, you still don't see Hamilton mentioned. Okay, and now we have a all new green. This was the final. I believe this was the final outcome. Yes, it was.
Let three delegates be appointed on the part of this state to meet such delegates as may be appointed on the part of the other states, respectively, on the second Monday in May next at Philadelphia, for the sole and express purpose of revising the Articles of Confederation and reporting to Congress and to the several legislatures such alterations and provisions therein as shall, when agreed to in Congress and confirmed by the several states, render the federal Constitution adequate to the exigencies of government and the preservation of the union.
Wow. So again, revising and no mention of who's going, at least Mr. Hamilton's not. And but they nailed it down to three, if I remember correctly, they said five. Yeah, the very first suggestion was five. And so the final was three. And I know Livingston, Hamilton, and I forget who the other one was from New York, but anyway. Okay. All right. Now Pennsylvania. Boy, they have revising in here a few times. And so very short and to the point right here with Pennsylvania too. Well, actually it's a long perfunctory stuff, but what they want them to do is pretty short and sweet. Go ahead.
With powers to meet such deputies as may be appointed and authorized by the other states to assemble in the said convention at the city aforesaid, and to join with them in devising, deliberating on, and discussing all such alterations and further provisions as may be necessary to render the federal constitution fully adequate to the exigencies of the union.
Yay. So, okay. So Pennsylvania's got theirs in, and I want to say, let me see here. We got Mifflin, or yeah, Mifflin, Morris, Clymer, Ingersoll, Fitzsimmons, James Wilson. Now, he was in the ratification debates. I believe he was also at the Constitutional Convention. Governor Morris was there as well. And so did they say how many?
Four.
Okay. And so I know that those Governor Morris and Wilson, I believe, were there. But now South Carolina. We got blue and green. Go ahead.
Whereas the powers at present vested in the United States and Congress assembled by the Articles of the Confederation and Perpetual Union of the said states are found by experience greatly inadequate to the weighty purposes they were originally intended to answer, and it has become absolutely necessary to the welfare of the Confederate States that other and more ample powers in certain cases should be vested in and exercised by the said United States and Congress assembled, also that the Articles of the Confederation and Perpetual Union of the United States should be revised in order to remedy defects which at their original formation in the time of war and general tumult could not be foreseen nor sufficiently provided against. And whereas this state is and ever hath been ready and willing to cooperate with the other states in union in devising and adopting such measures as will most effectually ensure the peace and general welfare of the Confederacy.
Okay, so understanding with the dependency on slavery in the Carolinas and Georgia, they had very vested interest in keeping the Union together. And I say that, and we're going to get into that when we hit the notes. But for the most part, what we're seeing here is they're literally they're doing. Who was it? Was it North? I think it was North Carolina that had the blue as well, right? Let me kind of go through this and see where was the other blue. There's the other blue, and yes, it was
Yeah,
North
it was.
Carolina. So both Carolinas felt it's necessary to expound upon the fact that the Articles of Confederation were an atrocity, that they recognized that the nation was in peril. Okay, so now the honorable being acted by the Honorable Senate and House of Representatives, so they actually had two bodies. Go ahead, the green.
Okay. To meet such deputies or commissioners as may be appointed and authorized by other of the United States to assemble in convention at the city of Philadelphia in the month May next after passing this act, or as soon thereafter as may be, and to join with such deputies or commissioners, they being duly authorized and empowered in devising and discussing all such alterations, clauses, articles, and provisions as may be thought necessary to render the federal constitution entirely adequate to the actual situation and future good government of the Confederate States.
And there we go. Okay, so last but not least, Virginia. And Virginia's kind of long. They talk about the revision and revising the federal constitution. But this is pretty short and to the point. What's the green?
To meet such deputies as may be appointed and authorized by other states to assemble in convention at Philadelphia as above recommended, and to join with them in devising and discussing all such alterations and further provisions as may be necessary to render the federal constitution adequate to the exigencies of the Union.
Now, actually, as I'm looking up above at what they were saying, that this could be some blue up here. But anyway, I didn't highlight it because they weren't really ragging on the Articles of Confederation, like those two other states. Okay, so we now see, and we've now provided you, folks, the evidence. Now, we're hoping that you read this with us. Don't take our words for it. I mean, Tammy could be making this up.
I could be.
And so we want you to, this is why we read this. We put the documents up there. They're also highlighted, so you'll see the exact same thing we see. So you'll be reading the exact same thing. And don't take our word for it, you know, that this, because I cut and pasted all this together. There is the citation of where you can find these documents. Prove to me that I messed with these things to create this kind of outcome, because I'm making some, I'll just say, I'm impugning the character of a organization or organizations that very proudly tell you that this was a runaway convention. Irrefutable. I mean, they've cast the judgment and convicted them. They're the jury, the judge, and the executioner. And right. I'm here to tell you that they're mischaracterizing the convention. And they're doing that because they're using fear, which is a tactic that the progressives use. I believe that those of us on the conservative or the constitutional side don't try to invoke fear. We try to use logic, common sense, and reason. And we try to be engaged in academic discourse so that, you know, prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen the litany of the quotations that they use in citing individuals who, in some form, fashion, in a letter or correspondence, because that's how they got all of this, that there were people that were basically making hay out of the fact that those guys that went to the convention, they violated their commission. Anybody could just say stuff. That's just basic hyperbole. And as far as I'm concerned, the facts are the facts. You have to read the commission to determine, did they exceed their commission? Heck no! Anyway, we love the facts and we're giving them to you. This is why we're reclaiming the Republic, and I'm G.R. Mobley, and we need your help. God bless. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.